वचन यानि मां पुष्पितां वाचम् यानि मां पुष्पितां वाचम्
यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम्
यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम् यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम्
प्रवदन्त्य विपश्चितः
प्रवदन्त्य विपश्चितः प्रवदन्त्य विपश्चितः
यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम् प्रवदन्त्य विपश्चितः
यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम् प्रवदन्त्य विपश्चितः
यदस्तीति वादिनः वेदवादरतः पार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः कामात्मानः स्वर्गपरा कर्म फलप्रदाम् कामात्मानः स्वर्गपरा जन्म कर्म फलप्रदाम् क्रियाविशेष बहुलाम्
भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति
क्रियाविशेष बहुलां भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति
क्रियाविशेष बहुलां भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति क्रियाविशेष बहुलां भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति
भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानां व्यापहृतचेतसाम् भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानां तयापहृतचेतसाम् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते
But you can have the room. All these three slokas are seen together. Actually, this is a complicated Sanskrit construction. You have to couple words from other sloka to the previous sloka to understand the total meaning. That's why I clubbed all the three slokas together to discuss the three things together. So Krishna mentions here how people get caught up in the Purva Bhaga of Vedas, namely the Karma Kanda portions. If you remember, we were talking about Karma and Karma Yoga in the previous class. We were trying to find out the differences between what is Karma, who is a Karmi, and what is Karma Yoga, who is a Karma Yogi. This is what we saw in the last class. And in the process of that, now Krishna is trying to mention how people get caught up in the Veda Purva Bhaga, which emphasizes the karma portions, the karma kanda portion. We gave the example of a fair where the king has to be chosen by somebody who is hiding the fair. So after the fair, there are so many attractive things in the world. They divert our attention, and the digressions are so many that we get digressed into them, forgetting our goal. So it offers so many things in life. There are, for example, you can find books which will say how to become rich. It's a book like that. That guy would have become rich if he knows exactly what is the how to become rich. No friendship in 30 days. No sanskrit in 20 days. How to win friendship. How to win business. All these things are there. People have written all those things. So to divert the attention, so many things are there. And whatever may be there, the karma kanda prescribes so many rituals. Whatever you want. Okay, you want good putra? Good. You want this? You got this recipe. For everything there is a recipe. Karma kanda gives all ritual for everything and everything. And it even describes swarga loka. You can go to swarga loka, it says. By doing this yaga, you can go to swarga. Swarga, there is no thirst, no hunger. There is a kamadenu, there is a parijata tree, wish-giving tree. Whatever you wish under it, it will give you. So you can go to swarga loka, no problem. Karma kanda gives all this. So people are all diverted, emphasizing all the time on these rituals, all the times on this karma, so that they can get so many of these things, including swarga. We should understand, including swarga. So Krishna says, Pushpitam vacham pravadanti. The first shloka, Pushpitam vacham pravadanti. Pushpitam vacham means the flowery speech of the karma kandas. Flowery speech, do this ritual, get this, do this ritual, get that. All this pushpitam vacham. Flowery speech of the Vedas, all attractive things, they are all like advertisement, almost. You know, do this, you will get this. All these things. And these people are, who are these people? Adipaschitaha. All these people who listen to this and follow all these things to get this and that, who are they? Adipaschitaha. They are unintelligent people. They want to look for all these goals. There is something is infinite is available. They are going for all these finite goals. They are all unintelligent people. But the problem is what? It is proportional to the gain. Higher the gain you want, the problem is also more. And actually in India, this is very common in India, a guy would be very interested in going in a motorcycle. Nice drive, goes very fast, no problem, Indian highways, whatever it is, so it goes. But problem is what? The moment it croaks somewhere, to the next shed, there is no AAA embargo. So to the next shed, he has to push it. When you push it, you know what is the problem of pushing such a heavy water pipe. It's nice to ride. But that's the problem accompanying that. The moment you get it, that's the problem. So these are all available here, but the Vedas talk about all these rituals. And the unintelligent people, they get drawn by it, looking at only at the karma kanda portion of the Vedas. It gives both. Karma kanda is meant for what actually? For chitta shuddhi, to get purity of mind and chitta ekagrata, concentration of the mind. They forget all these, go towards all these rituals, try to get all these finite gains. They are all unintelligent people. Avatasthitaha. Vedavagarataha. They are engaged in the Vedic statements of material gains. All the material gains. Veda here refers to only the Purvabhaga, the karma kanda portion. Not the full Veda Upanishads and all are not meant here. It is only meant the karma kanda portion. Not only that, na anyate asti iti vajinaha. Na anyate asti iti vajinaha. They also argue, there is nothing else other than this. Other than these material gains, nothing else is there in life for me. I have only one life to live. Let me enjoy every bit of it, every second of it. Let me get this, that, all that thing they go after. Even if someone tells, oh, there are some other better things, there are correct things available, what these people will say? They will not accept any of them. They will even argue very vehemently, I don't want moksha at all. Let me be happy here. Dead yesterday, unborn tomorrow, why fret about them if today is sweet? That is their argument. So they want to be all the time engaged in these kinds of pleasures. So I want only a comfortable house, a good coffee, maybe a tennis match to watch, whatever it is, that's all they want. Nanya dastiti vajinaha. They argue that there is nothing other than this which is useful for them. And kamatmaha. They are saturated with desires all the time. Kama. All the time desires only. They will put the budget for the next month. Already this year is not, already this month is not even met. They will already budget for expecting some salary to come for the next year. Already they have budgeted. Okay, I buy this car, maybe this is the monthly payment I can afford. All projections. You know, all these companies, they give all these first quarter, second quarter, third quarter projections, and you know where we are going. So all these projections affecting this and that. Because what is realistic in life, that has to be assessed. Of course, you need to have that to project yourself. You cannot just sit quiet and then say, okay, so let things come by its own. It won't. You have to take all this, but don't stop there. Don't think that is the end of itself. You use it as a means to go to the higher goal. So, kama atmana. Here, atma does not refer to the Satchidananda atma. Here, it means embodiment of desires, all kamas. These people are all embodiment of all desires. And among all these desires, they have a primary one. What is that? Swargapara. Swargapara, they are always, actually today it's not Swargapara, maybe if it is in India, it is foreign para. Somehow also they have to go to America. You have to end up there, somehow or there. Swargapara. Parthamati Swarga. So always they are Swargapara, interested in higher material gains only. And Kriya Vishesha Bhagula, next shloka. Kriya Vishesha Bhagula, this way I said the complicated sentence of the Sanskrit construction. This is actually, this Kriya Vishesha Bhagula is an adjective to Vachak of the previous, Yamimapitina Vachak. For that Vachak is an adjective. Kriya Vishesha Bhagula, the previous shloka. They speak words, and what type of flowery words they speak? Kriya Vishesha Bhagula. They talk flowery words which are full of karmas. Lot of rituals, full of karmas, struggle. To do some karma, to get something, anything to be, for example, cleared from a government or whatever it is, you know how much of work you have to do? You have to not only walk to that million times or go away, whatever it is, to get some clerk to approve something. Not only you have to go to each clerk, you have to give a dakshina. There is a devata, so many devatas are there. For each other, you have to give dakshina, and then finally some that paper might come, he will say next week it will come, next month it might come, what it may take even years. You have to struggle so much to go through all these things. So what are the lot of rituals? There are rituals. It's like another homa, these are the rituals. Pleasing some devata, some varuna or mitra through a homa, you are to see pleasing this devata, that devata in the yomata. You have to go through all those things. They think these karma will give them happy life. That's what these people, this will give happy life temporarily. They should understand that. They think that is the end of it. That's the problem. But they really give all these karmas, what they really do, Janma karma phala pradam. They give only that. They can give only birth and death. You will get punyam, you will get papa. You have to again take another janma to exhaust the punya papa karmas. So that all they give. So all these karmas give rise to only punarjanma, no moksha. So it will give some comforts temporarily, perhaps, but it gives only punarjanma. So these are also adjective to putpita vacha. So we have to link it to the first shloka. And all they talk are gained for what? Bhoga Aishwarya Gatim Prati, for the fulfillment of Bhoga and Aishwarya. Enjoyment and all this wealth, Aishwarya. Pleasure and prosperity. That's all they want. They are looking for only that, Kama and Artha. Pleasure is Kama, desire. Prosperity is Artha. They struggled and struggled for these two Purusharthas only all time. There are four Purusharthas, if you know. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So they are only concentrating on Kama and Artha only here. No Dharma. Dharma will perhaps. And Moksha, where is Moksha? So for Moksha, that mind is not even prepared to listen to Moksha. Kama is fine. And Artha is fine. This is my law. So Krishna says, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktana. They are completely lost in Bhoga and Aishwarya. They cannot think of anything else except material life alone. They are such law. Because of attachment to these material interests, what happens? That viveka shakti, the ability to discriminate which is really good for them, what is permanent, what is not permanent, that shakti is completely blunted. It is completely lost. They become blind people to those discriminations. Tayam apadruta chetasam. Apadruta chetasam. That mind, that viveka shakti, the discriminative ability, that is apadrutam. Apadrutam is completely stolen away by these material things. They completely are stolen away. They have all the things except what? That viveka shakti. They are everything else. Whatever you want, material things you say in life, they all have that. Except this viveka shakti. Then if this viveka shakti is not there, even if you have all other things, what does it really mean? No difference between animals and themselves. Because animals don't have viveka shakti, they also don't have viveka shakti. But the animals at least behave according to the instincts. These people don't do according to the instincts. Also, they are according to the instincts. That's dharma for animals. For these people, even that is not there. They go in the wrong direction. Taya, by what? Taya refers to the flowery speech of the previous shloka. The Pushpita Vacha. to Tayaratos to that mother is speech. Actually, all these three slokas have to be connected. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means that intellect, whose nature is what? Decision making. Mind only is oscillating. Whereas buddhi is to make intelligent decisions. So, vyavasayatmika buddhi is that the intellect, whose nature is to make good decisions, that intellect, what happens? Samadhav na vidhiyate. That intellect, that buddhi, whose nature is to make decisive conclusions, for that buddhi, samadhav na vidhiyate, it does not abide in samadhi. Samadhi means naishchalyam, ekagrata, samadhanam, all those things we said earlier. The one pointedness, it doesn't abide in those things at all. That buddhi also becomes blunted for those people. So here samadhi can be taken in two ways. It is steadiness of the mind, that's what we said earlier, chitta naishchalyam, chitta ekagrata, chitta samadhanam, the one pointed attention. Or all Shankara says, samadhi means the mind itself. Shankaracharya in his commentary, he says, samadhi means the mind itself. Then the meaning will be that mind itself will not abide in itself. So will be always extravert. The mind will not abide in itself, it will be always turned extravert. So buddhi, buddha, naividiyate. Mind is not all the time with itself, but vikshepaha. Vikshepaha means always wandering. So mind is not within itself, it always wanders. But the idea is, whether it is this way you take samadhi as mind or samadhi as naishchalyam, both the ways we can interpret it. So ekagrata, one-pointedness, focus is not there. The intellect does not come to a decision-making this authority at all, it is always vacillating. Traigunya Vishaya Veda.
Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Traigunya Vishaya Veda.
Traigunyo Babarjuna.
Traigunyo Babarjuna. Traigunyo Babarjuna.
Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Traigunyo Babarjuna.
Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Traigunyo Babarjuna.
Nirvando nitya sattvastah.
Nirvando nitya sattvastah. Nirvando nitya sattvastah.
Nirvyoga kshema atmavan.
Nirvyoga kshema atmavan. Nirvyoga kshema atmavan.
Nirvando nitya sattvastah. Nirvyoga kshema atmavan.
Nirvando nitya sattvastah. Nirvyoga kshema atmavan. Nirvando nitya sattvastah. Nirvyoga kshema atmavan.
So Krishna says, these are all the unintelligent people, but you are not so. So what do? You follow yoga. Krishna asks Arjuna, you follow now yoga, because yoga is such a glorious discipline to follow. By following yoga, may you get chitta shuddhi, the purity of your mind, chitta shuddhi, and chitta naishchalya, the chitta ekagrata, one-pointedness. This is the essence of this shloka. So, in the mind, what is the primary impurity in the mind? We saw this earlier. The primary impurity in the mind is only kama, desire. Desire is the fundamental impurity in everybody. As I told many times, desire, why it is called impurity, is the dosha, is what desire does. The moment you can always have desire, no problem. I can have desire, no problem at all. But what we do normally? We let desire have us. That is the problem. If we have desire and our control, no problem. Once you let desire have you, then the desire is fulfilled. What happens? You get greedy. So it all arises. All those things come the moment desire is fulfilled. If desire is not fulfilled, what happens? You get anger. You get depression, you get reaction, all those things come, desire unfulfilled. Because in both the cases, you are not having desire in your control, you let desire have you. That is the problem, that is why it is a fundamental problem, it is an attachment. So in the mind, the primary impurity is desire or attachment. So purity means what? Absence of desire, or control of desire. Purity means absence of desire, which is known as vairagya. If you can control the desire, kama, then it becomes vairagyam as dispassion. That's what you have. So freedom from the dirt called raga. That is chitta shuddhi. The dirt is raga or attachment. So freedom from the dirt called raga, that's what you want to, through dispassion. And may you get vairagyam. May you get that dispassion and by Naischaryam through what? Karma. Through karma, karma yoga is the essence here. And desire of what? Here desire is not of Brahman. If you want to have a desire of Brahman, that is good. Because mumukshutvam, desire for Brahman is a qualification. For somebody to get moksha, it's a qualification. Here there is no desire for mumukshutvam, for a Brahman or anything. No such thing at all. Desire only for worldly interest. That is the desire one has. So moksha desire is fine, but that is not here at all. So then, why should we have vairagyam for worldly things? There are so many worldly things. They are all essential things for me in life. Why should I have vairagyam towards them? That's the question. In other words, why should we have vairagyam from the karmakanda portion of Vedas? Vedas are karmakanda and jnanakanda, both have been given to us by the rishis. Why should we say that we should have vairagyam from the karmakanda portion, which is giving all the material things and all those things at all? Krishna says, Veda Traigunya Vishaya. Traigunya Vishaya. The Karmakanda portion. Here also Veda refers to the Karmakanda, not the Upanishadic portion. The Karmakanda portion is dealing with only three gunas and their products. Traigunya Vishaya. It is dealing with only the three gunas. What are the three gunas? Sattva guna, Rajo guna and Tamo guna. It is dealing with only these three properties and their products. And what are the three gunas? Actually, we have to go to, I will give some introduction to this thing in front of Tatubodha, as I told you in the beginning itself. We will see it parallelly so that you can understand Vedanta a little bit. See, Tatubodha says, Brahmashraya Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunatmika Maya Asti. This is what Acharya says. Brahmashraya Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunatmika Maya Asti. Depending on Brahman, for its existence is Maya. This Maya is there, which is of the nature of. What are the nature of the three gunas? The Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, and Tamo Guna. That is what Acharya defines. What is this Maya? Maya is of the three gunas. So now what happens? From this Maya, the whole material world is born. So Acharya describes in entirety the entire creation process, the Srishti process. He says, Tataha, Akasha Sambhutaha, from that Maya, Akasha is born. Space is born. From Akasha, Akasha, Vayu is born. Then Vayoho, Tejaha, or Vayu Agni, from Vayu, Agni is born. Tejasaha, Apaha, water is born from Agni, and from fire, water is born. And Adyaha, Prithivi, from waters, the earth is born. So that is how the Srishti has happened. From Maya, that's one. So, Akasha, and what happened? With respect to each one of these elements, there are each guna associated with them. From Akasha, the space, what is its characteristic? Sound. So, sound is the characteristic of space. Akasha is space. Sound. And air, for air, Vayu, touch, is the characteristic of Vayu. Fire is the form, Rupaha. Rupaha is the form of fire. Then water, Rasana, taste. Water. And yet, Prithivi is smell. So all these five qualities, five attributes, sound, touch, form, taste and smell, they arise from all these five elements. So all these five elements are born from Maya and all these characteristics are from each one of these five elements. That's how they are found. Okay? And from the, now from all these things we should find out how these sense organs, all this ability to see, ability to hear, ability to smell, how those things are born. Acharya again says, Yetesham panchatattvana madhye akashasya sattvikamshat shrotendriyam sambhutam. From among these five great elements, Yetesham panchatattvana madhye, among all these five elements, akashasya sattvikamshat, from out of the sattvic aspect of akasha. All these three things are all a combination of three qualities. So space also has the three qualities. And one of the quality of space is sattva, rajo, tamo, all this. So from the sattvic quality of space, sattvic aspect of space is evolved the hearing, the ear. Shrotendriyam is the ear. So from the space aspect, this has evolved. Vayoho sattvikamshatim tvagindriyam sambhutam. From the sattvic aspect of vayu, what happened? Tvagindriyam, the skin. That came. Agnehe sattvikamshatim chakshurindriyam sambhutam. So from the sattvic aspect of Agni, then the power of heat. See, chakshurindriyam, eyes, that came. Jalasya sattvikamshatim rasanendriyam sambhutam. from the waters, sattvic aspect of the waters, what happened? Is formed with a tongue, the taste, instrument. Prithivyaha sattvikam shatem granendriyam sambhutam. From the earth element, the granendriyam, the faculty of smell, that came. So akasha ear, vayuhu skin, then agni eye, then apaha water tongue, and prithivim, the earth, is the nose. Then all these things combined together, from the total sattvic aspect of all of the what came? Mind came. The all the antakaranas came. Mind, intellect, ahankara and chitta. Mind is manas, intellect is buddhi, ahankara is the I am the doer, the I-ness, and chitta is the awareness. So all these things came by the from the total sattvic aspect of all these five. Now from the Now these are the sense organs. Now all the organs of actions, how they came. Then Acharya says, now, again he says, what is the nature of mind and all those things. We don't have to go into that detail. But we have to now, for each one of the mind and all, there is a devata also. Acharya says all those things. We don't have to worry about those things for this present discussion. Then from the rajasic aspect of all these, now from the sattvic aspect, all these things came, sense organs. From the rajasic aspect, what are the things came? Etesham panchatattvanam madhye akashasya rajasamshat vagindriyam sambhutam. From the rajasic aspect of space, akasha, what came? Vagindriyam came. The power of speech, the organ of speech came from that. Vayoho rajasamshat pranendriyam sambhutam. From the vayu, from its rajasic aspect, pranendriyam, the vital gas, that came from that. And jalasya sattvikamsa, rajasamsa, then udendriyam sambhutam, from the waters, from its rajasic aspect, the excretory organs, they came. Udendriyam sambhutam, prithivya rajasamsa, then upastendriyam sambhutam, from the earths, the rajasic aspect of the earth, the genital organs, they came. That is the reproductive organs, upastendriyam sambhutam, and etesham samashti rajasamsa, then pancha pranaha sambhutaha. So from the connective, rajasic aspect of all of them, all the pancha pranas, prana, apana, yana, udana, samana. I told you earlier, all these pranas, each one of them is responsible for a particular physiological function. So all those things evolve from the total rajasic aspect of all these five elements. This is what they have come. So from akasha, speech came, vayu, the rajasic aspect of akasha, speech came, rajasic aspect of vayu, hands came. This is hands. And Agni, legs came, and Apaha, the anus and the excretory organs came, and Prithvi, the genitals came. This is how all these things came. And from the tamasic aspect, etesham panchatattvanam tamasamshatir panchikritam panchatattvani bhavanti. Next complex thing, very complex. How Acharya analyzed this thing is unbelievable. Well, long, long ago. He says, from all the tamasic aspect of all these five, a process of panchikaranam, through a process of panchikaranam, several things happen. What are those? Panchikaranam, what is panchikaranam if you ask, that will be said, etesham panchamahabhutanam tamasam shatim swarupam ekamekam bhutam vidhavibhajya ekamekam ardham prithakya tushnim vyavastha. I have to put this entire shloka, I don't know how to, I can draw it on the board perhaps. Let me just only say to start with. From the, what is this panchikaranam, if we ask, we said from the, there is a process of panchikaranam. Let me put this way. Because this is common. I have to see how I can make you understand. From all these five elements, the subtle aspects, they all came from the sattvic, rajasic aspects of this. But they are only subtle. Now, they have to grassify to become the body. Because what we see is the grass body. We see the ear, we all are grass. But from the subtle thing only first evolves. From the subtleness, they have to come to the grass portion. So the subtle to grass transformation is called grassification, panchikarna. In Vedanta, it is called the panchikarna. So how that panchikarna happens, that's what he says here. For the grass body, panchikarna, how they, from the tamasic aspects, in the panchikarna process, each of these five elements, akasha, vayu, all these five elements, each one of them, they divide into two parts. Each one of them in the panchikarana process, they divide into two parts. And among the two parts, for example, if you take a ellipse kind of a thing, two parts. One part remains intact. The other part splits into four. So one part remains, that is one half, it becomes half and half. One half remains, the other half divides into four. So now what happens? You got one half and other only four of them are there. You have got one fourth each one of them behind. Now, the other half, when they decide, the one half that is remaining, that merges with the other four divided parts of each and then gives rise to one cross product. For example, if you take Akasha, Akasha divided into two halves. Akasha is there, one half is Akasha. The other half Akasha is divided into four of the remaining four elements. What are the remaining four elements? Space, air, fire, water and air. So one half of this space, the other half associates with the other four, air, fire, water and air. So now how all five elements go to make up one Akasha? So originally from the one Akasha, association with the remaining four elements, the grassified Akasha. Similarly, from air, divided into two parts, one half air remains, the other half divides into four parts, and that will have Akasha, fire, water and air. And when these things two combine, what is formed is the grassified air. So that is how from the subtle air, through this process of grassification, grass air is formed. And from these grass elements, grass body is formed. Okay? So this is how the Panchikaranam process happens. And what is the basis for all this? The three gunas. So, Traigunya Vishaya. That's what we took this entire study, just to explain what is this Traigunya Vishaya in this sloka. From the Traigunya Vishaya, the three gunas, from that only, from Maya, which is a combination of all these three gunas, the entire Srishti happened, and they are a combination of all these three gunas. That is how they evolved. Yes, sir. The grassification, Panchikaranam process, happens with the Tamasic process. The Panchikaranam process is from the Tamasic aspect that comes. So this is how the grass product happens. So this entire Maya, which is a combination of all the three gunas, now what you do, Veda, Traigunya Vishaya, the Karmakanda portion is dealing with only the three gunas, not anything else. And what are the three gunas? That's what we suggest now. So the whole material world is born of the three gunas. So, the five elements are born. From the sattvic aspect, the rajasic aspect, the jnanendriya, sense organ, karmendriya, organs of action, mind, prana, ahankara, chitta, they are born. Then through the process of, I am just summarizing what I said, through the process of classification, the panchikaranam, the physical body is born, and not only that, the whole creation is also nothing but a mixture of these five elements only. The individual and the entire whole universe. Everything in creation is nothing but a mixture of these five elements only. Okay? That's what they are. That's what the entire creation is called what? Traigunya. Here the five, we are explaining all this part of the word Traigunya Vishaya, the Traigunya. So the entire Srishti creation is called Traigunyam, born out of the three gunas. The entire Srishti born out of three gunas. And that which is born from the Bhuta, Bhutan is the elements, is called Bhautikam. So they are all Bhautikam. The Bhautikam, the word Bhautikam comes from, they are all argument. So whatever benefits the Karma Kanda is promising, what are the things it promises to you? It will give you good Dhanyam, Dhanam, Pashu, Utralamam, all this gift, everything it will give you, right? All these, they all fall under what? Under the material universe only. All of these things will fall, all these gains, you will get by doing all these rituals, will get what? They are all classified under the material universe, only Traigunya. Okay. Dharma, Artha, Kama, all fall within Traigunya, we can say. So all kinds of bodily, environmental, etc. improvements, whatever we can talk about, they are all coming under this material thing, which are Traigunya. So Traigunya Vishaya in this shloka means all these, only those things. Any material product falls within Traigunya. So Krishna says, if you are really interested in moksha, you don't want, what you should be? Mistraigunyo bhava. What you should do? You should go beyond the three gunas. If you want moksha, don't be associated with the three gunas. You should go beyond the three gunas, that the trigunatmika prapancha. You have to go beyond these two also. Okay? You should go beyond that. Go beyond, that is what? Go beyond dharma, artha, and kama. We are dharma, artha, kama, fall in this category. That's what we just now said. But dharma, artha, kama, all they come under material category. So you should go beyond them. So beyond the three guna and its products. That's what we should do. So Vidrayunyopava. Why? Whatever falls in this material universe, what happens? They are born out of a ritual. Whatever maybe is a ritual, Panjigarna is a ritual. So everything is a ritual. They will have many defects. Because they are all products of a ritual, they can have many defects. Many defects means they can have many disadvantages. What are those disadvantages we have seen earlier? Whatever belongs to the material universe, being subject to change. Everything that belongs to the material universe always subject to change. It will perish one day. It is not reliable. It has to change, including our own body. Whether it is body, whether it is bandhapas, whether it is people, whatever you can call, they are all going through changes. They are not reliable. They will go one day, perish. So the first defect in this is what? Anityam. They are not nityam, they are anityam. That is the first defect. So, if that is everything that falls within the Trigunatmika matter, everything that falls within the Trigunatmika, subject to change. What are the changes we have seen? Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Vinashyati. They are born, they are changing, they are decaying, they finally die. So, all the Shadvikaras, all the sixfold modifications, they are there for all of them. That is the first one. So, Anityam is the first defect. And what is the second defect? In the relative world, there is nothing which is called the final. In the relative world, there is nothing which is called the final because always there is room for improvement. These are all the jargons in management. You go to your supervisor for the end of the year, whatever feedback or whatever you know. At that time, they will say there is room for improvement. What is this room for improvement? Always room for improvement. Maybe the CEO also will get room for improvement. The shareholders will say there is room for improvement. For the CEO also.
There is vast scope for improvement.
Vast scope. But always room for improvement. So you can never reach perfection at all anytime. There is always room for improvement only. So whatever one gains, there will never be satisfaction at all. You got 10,000 rupees today, you want to gain 100,000. 100,000, a million, whatever it is. Always this goes back. So they say the contentment or satisfaction is an obstacle for progress. That's what all the people say. If a guy is very contented, they will say, oh no, very contented. It's an obstacle for progress. We cannot progress at all. Normally that is what they interpret, right? So be contented. Eternal progress means what? Eternally dissatisfied. Right? I'm not satisfied. Eternal design is mine. That's what I have. Eternal problem is what? So this is the second. And what is the final effect? Any gain in the relative world, it can be called gain from one angle and may be called a loss from another angle. It's a relative world. Right? So the gain or good or advantage is not absolute in the relative world. That is the third dosha. Third effect is a gain is not absolute in the relative world. For example, well, somebody may be very happy with a lot of wealth. One day some robber might come and he is a target now. There is a lot of wealth. Nobody is going to go. Kaupila Vandaha, Kalu Bhagya Vandaha. The guy who has only a life, what is Bhagya Vandaha? Nobody goes to him to steal anything. Whereas this guy, he is living in all this comfort. Everybody, you know, all electrified fences. You know, all those things you need. For what? To protect yourself. That is your target now. So there is a problem. So, artham, anartham, bhavaya nityam. That's what Acharya said. Artham, anartham, bhavaya nityam. So, in case of worldly things, there is nothing uniformly advantageous. Because it is even you generate atomic energy, the highest invention, whatever it is, always can be used for destructive purpose. So, for everything, there is the guy who originally invented, he will be very happy. Oh, what a great thing is that. So, if you want absolute good, it should not fall within Trigunya. That is the all these discussions are for that. If you want absolute good, then it cannot fall within the matter of these three gunas. Trigunya Vishaya should not be. So Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna. So Nistraigunya Bhava means Virakta Bhava. You should have that. So Vairagi Bhava. Then Arjuna might argue, okay Krishna, you are all fine. So even if you do not work for pleasure or pain, okay, I do not work for pleasure or gaming, any of those individual things, they are going to come, regardless of whether I do or not, because my gates are open. Let me not do anything, I am sitting here, but the gates are open. The hearing faculty, seeing faculty, smelling faculty, they are all open. They just get crashed into me. I don't go after them. They get crashed into me, what will I do then? Like Krishna, Arjuna may ask. Because mere living involves pressures and pain, just living, not doing anything, just you are locomotion of life, no big desire, nothing, just locomotion of life. Even that involves pressures and pain, what to do with that? Arjuna might ask, and Krishna says, Nirdvandopapa, all in the slow process, Nirdvandopapa. Nirdvandom, every moment there is transaction in life, every moment of life there is transaction in life, always there is a reaction. For everything there is a reaction. Even if you do not put anything, the world will get crashed into you. You may be sitting quiet in your house, it will get crashed into you. To do all that thing through all these five doors. There are five doors, gates we got. Get crashed. So interaction with the world means opposite experiences all the time. The moment you interact with the world, there is always opposite experiences. Why? Because the world itself consists of dvandva. Dvandva means passive opposites. The world itself consists of, because if there is a day, there is night. Or a day and night, birth, there is death, growth, decay, all those things are positive, negative. All these tantra, all these opposite passive experiences, that is there, always full, the world is full of them. So opposite cannot give uniform experience at all. When there are opposites only everywhere, how can it be only uniform experience? It can be only opposite experiences. That's what it can do. So learn to accept the opposites. Nirdvandva. Learn to accept the opposites. Cheerfully. Not with that, oh, I got to accept. No. Accept it cheerfully because it is fact. Do not question a fact. It's a fact. You have to learn to accept it. So actually Krishna, we saw it already in the 14th sloka. Matras Prasad Kundayam. Shitoshta Sukha Dukha Daha. We already saw that thing earlier. So do not get affected by the fact.